You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 20 October. Chinese GDP out earlier, 4.8% for Q3, slightly better than expected, weakest in a year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters, Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nick Kunze. Process has concluded the JustEatTakeaway.com deal, some US bank numbers and gold. What to say? 9 green weeks. It's crazy out there. We're going to be chatting with Prescient Investment Managers. So we have the meeting this Friday, or the decision as to whether we get off the grey list or not, and then implications if we do. Shapakrasami Momentum. Q3 market, tariffs threaten global inflation, particularly in the US, and locally, the lower inflation target helped our bond yields. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, how much we buy cars makes on each car it sells. It achieved revenue $13 billion over 6 months, operating profit of $730 million. Business day, inflation likely to edge up in September. Fuel and food dynamics continue to shape outlook as Reserve Bank prepares monetary policy review. That inflation data, Wednesday. Morning markets, US was greenback on Friday, S&P 0.5%, NASDAQ almost 0.2% higher. The East is all green, Sydney 0.3%, Tokyo almost 3% higher, Hong Kong 2.5%, and Tencent 3.5% up. Commodities mostly red, gold futures 4,273, Brent is the only green at 6,105, platinum 1,618, palladium 1,518. The rand is 17.34, bitcoins 108,700, and top 40 opening call it 660 points to the green, 0.6%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning time. Process announcing Friday, it's concluded the deal to buy the JustEatTakeaway.com. This really is, in a sense, their attempt to, I don't know, dilute the Tencent stake. Your thought on food delivery and the fact that it probably still is just really a Tencent proxy, even with the acquisition.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Morning to your listeners. Yeah, a quick glance at it. I mean, it is still very much a Tencent story when you invest in us in Prosus. Although I will say, it is the first time that the so-called basket of outsider Tencent rump is actually starting to be profitable. So business is actually starting to look quite interesting. I mean, that's been the challenge for as long as I can remember is the outside of the Tencent holding. And the new Naspers CEO, Fabrizio is, I think he, you know, this is his game. He's involved in food. He built his name up in South America with his acquisition there and operation there. So, you know, this one is I guess a bit more what he's used to, and it's pretty chunky size as well. I mean, it's a big acquisition. It does put them in about, I think, the fourth largest food delivery in the world now. So it's a big bet. I think it is in his comfort zone, so watch this space.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is what he specializes in, so I suppose they've got an expert in it. We touched last week, we pointed out that US bank earnings were kicking off, and as you said, absent of economic data out of the federal government, it was going to be important. My sense, good numbers, lots of caution.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Perfect summary. Decent numbers, you know, trading revenues up about 12% of the big ones. You know, obviously Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citibank, all had, bumper profits as expected. But again, as you said, spot on. Caution warranted. I mean, we've seen a little bit of concerns coming out of their loan books as well. And also, unusually so, Mr. Diamond warning and a few others, the potential bubble in AI as well. So, you know, steady as we go, but there seemed to be a little bit of risk coming to the fore up the road. So caution is still warranted.
I mentioned top of the show, we had some China GDP data, 4.8%. It is the lowest in a year. But in the middle of a trade war, 4.8 ain't bad. I know China likes 5, but it's not a bad number for the world's second largest economy.
It's very good. It's very good. And it just shows you that, you know, outside of the US, which they, you know, obviously sell a lot of stuff to, there is the world still carries on. And I think there's quite a large portion of outside of ex-America that's pivoting and still doing business with China. And you can see that in the numbers today, as you said, decent sort of number as well. Also worth mentioning, China keeping its loan rate as well at 3%. So, yep. You know, lower rates, decent GDP. And that spillover is knocked sort of Asian markets this morning. I mean, every single market you mentioned on your feedback earlier, all looking in the green this morning.
Yeah. Strong opens across all of Asia. Very, very strong opens. A last point, and I almost do this to put it on record because I have no words or comment or expectation. Mm-hmm. Gold price, we've now had 9 green weeks. My daughter says that is the first time ever. It's also, I mean, since it started moving in August, I don't know, $1,000 higher. Gold is just scratching, head scratching. Loving it. I'm long, but it's head scratching.
You know, it's and I get so many questions now from clients on gold, but I think that the most important thing, and it's unusual, it must be said as well, Simon, to have like S&P, NASDAQ, gold indices, equities all hitting new highs with gold up north of 50% of the year. That is very unusual. But I think it does speak to possibly a broader acceptance of gold, you know, often being the sort of space of the gold bugs and the retail investors. But central banks, massive, massive part of gold. And I don't remember when I'd ever see, you know, central banks having gold holdings and some of them larger than their U.S. Treasury. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big, big story. And you've seen the spillover now as well. I mean, you've seen the spillover into silver, into the other platinum group metals as well. So, yeah, you can kind of understand it. I mean, this is a bet against, gold used to be a bet against instability and all the rest of it. But I think this time, very much a bet against global debt, the U.S., and I guess also thrown in an uncertain Mr. Trump. And the Federal Reserve's attacks on Lisa Cook not helping either. So a bit of a sweet spot for gold out there. And as we all know, though, just be careful because gold does go up and it does go down in my experience.
But I like your point. It's no longer just about gold bugs. And that's been a significant shift. I was one of those who never owned it. 3 years ago, I would have laughed at you if you said I should own some gold. Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm joined with Bastien Tuchiba. He is Chief Investment Officer at Prescient Investment Management. Bastien, appreciate the time. The Financial Action Task Force, who put us on grey listing, they're meeting 20 to 24 October. 24th is Friday. And my expectation is we get removed from the grey listing. We had a list of things to do. In my sense is we have done them over the last 2.5 years. Is that a fair expectation or am I being wildly optimistic?
Thanks for having me on your show, Simon. Yes, that's 100% right. So most likely we will come off the list. We knew what was needed to come off the list and we've ticked those boxes. So now it's more about rubber stamping us having ticked the boxes and then hopefully we can finally get off that dreaded list.
And it's a big deal. I remember when we got grey-listed back in February 23, I mean, the immediate response was that the rand went out, I think, to around 1950 against the dollar. It has significant implications being on that list and hence real positivity finally getting off it.
You're 100% right, Simon. Grey listing is not a small issue. It can have real consequences. So there's research from the IMF and that shows that countries on the grey list, they see capital inflows dropping by roughly 7.5% of GDP. So that's massive, right? Wow. And capital inflows dropping is not exactly what we can afford in South Africa. So we need that boost to confidence over the long term. We need a lift in those capital inflows because exactly those capital inflows have been an issue. We haven't seen any of those and that's what needs to change to finally get back to a more sustainable growth path.
And that then would have positive impact for our government bonds, I would imagine, which obviously helps with our sovereign debt situation. But equally, it will flow through potentially to inflation and even ultimately interest rates.
No, certainly. I do think, though, it is important to be aware of the short-term volatility versus the medium-term confidence game. So in the short term, I wouldn't expect fireworks. Maybe there's a small move on the day where the rubber stamp really comes through. But having said that, the benefit on that one day will not be massive because it's pretty much in the price. We know what's going to happen, right? What is more important that over the medium term, though, it should lift sentiment. And remember, sentiment towards South Africa that historically has been an issue. So if we can lift this a little bit further, that would be great. I think we've lifted it quite a bit. I actually think that market participants are a little bit complacent almost about the issues in South Africa right now. We can see that asset classes have run quite strongly and uncertainty has dropped quite a bit. But anyway, long term, that lift to confidence would be really good and positive in every instance.
I take your point. I mean, a bit of a short term maybe response, but it really is that longer term picture. And of course, as you're pointing out around some of the sentiment, I mean, we are still sub-investment grade across all three of the rating agencies, and that's another much longer road back.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't think that will immediately impact our budget. But again, it's important to understand the long-term dynamics here, right? So if you boost investor confidence, if you are able to pull money into the country, risk premia should drop and your bond yields should come down. That eventually does have a positive impact on the fiscus. And with that, eventually, potentially will give us a better rating. Having said that, it's a little bit far-fetched to link all of this to the grey listing. As I said, long-term, super important to get off the list, and it's great that we are achieving that. But linking everything, growth, asset class returns, etc., to this kind of not so massive event would be the wrong move.
Saab, I mentioned interest rates. I mean, obviously, again, you know, it's something which I think we all celebrate. Saab and the MPC will as well. Would it have any influence on their policy trajectory? I mean, they're anchoring, and that's their choice of the word, anchoring inflation at 3%. It makes their job perhaps easier, but does it change what they're thinking and doing?
I don't think it will change too much in terms of inflation expectations. So you are spot on that the Saab is very focused on having a lower inflation target and getting that right. They are well aware that real interest rates are too high. Potentially a little bit of an added boost to the rand will encourage them and enable them to cut interest rates a little bit further. But again, it's a long shot to really see that taking us off the greater list would lead directly to lower inflation. I think that's not something which we could credibly say.
And corporates, I know in the financial services industry, the grey listing has created complexities for offshore processes, paperwork, etc. There must be a similar level in corporates. Again, a slight easing of the administrative burden, but not a boost in the short term. This really is a medium to long term story.
That's exactly it. That's the risk of going in circles, Simon. That's exactly right what you said. So basically, it's obviously easing the administrative burden. It's making business easier. It's only a good thing for investors, good thing for confidence, good thing for corporate. There's nothing negative in it for us to come off that list, and it will help. But again, don't expect short-term fireworks. It's just about understanding that the long-term trends are driven also by other factors. But the small part to get that right is absolutely key. But it's not the silver bullet either.
Yeah, it's one step in a very, very long journey. Maybe it's a dozen steps, but it's a very long journey. We'll leave it there. Bastien Tegriba, Chief Investment Officer, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the time. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. We're going to get taken off for the meetings this week. We should apparently hear on Friday. Do you think we'll exit finally that grey listing? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money smoother returns for StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Joining now with Sinisha Pakosami, Chief Economist at Momentum. Sinisha, appreciate the early morning, your third quarter sort of market economic report out. You make a key point, I think. Global economy looks set to avoid recession. Growth is not booming, we get that. We're not booming it. Lower than maybe long-term averages because of concerns around tariffs and the like. But the very big worries around a global recession seem to really have been put to bed, and the economy globally is going to probably avoid it.
Thanks so much for having me, Simon, and good morning to all your listeners. Yes, indeed. So it seems as though there is a little bit of complacency, I think, creeping back into markets if we look at where measures of volatility are. Mm. We've even seen from the Bank of America Global Fund Manager Survey that most investors out there don't expect any sort of hard landing. In fact, a third of them in the October survey expect no landing. And so that implies you know, that they believe the economy will just continue at the current trend, notwithstanding all of the geopolitical risk factors out there, fiscal risk looming in many of the markets in the developed and emerging market space, and, you know, oncoming inflation that is still likely to see a peak in the United States. So with all these risks out there, it does appear as though markets are just a little bit complacent.
Yeah, I take your point. Absolutely. I mean, all-time highs absolutely everywhere. And to be clear, complacent is a good word there. You mentioned inflation. I mean, U.S. inflation is I mean, it's not at that 2%. It is quite markedly higher and probably going to, as you say, maybe edge a little bit more. And that is largely tariff-driven, I imagine.
Indeed. So if we look at those inflation numbers right now, you know, closer to the 3% level, we know that the U.S. Federal Reserve targets 2%. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing inflation already in excess of that level. But going forward, we think that some of the tariff impact has not yet kicked through. So what we did see in the first half of the year was quite a lot of front loading of imports as U.S. corporates got a bit nervous about the impact of those tariffs that were going to be setting in. And so if you look at the effective rate of what companies are actually experiencing on the ground, it's actually a little bit lower than what the headline tariff impact is coming through. And so in the next couple of months, we should start to see those rates actually picking up towards that headline level with all the new tariffs that have been announced in the last couple of weeks. And that is going to have an impact on the U.S. consumer, unfortunately. So we are anticipating a further increase in inflation in the next few months in the U.S. economy, and that is likely to dampen the purchasing power of U.S. consumers. And that means that going into the fourth quarter of this year, you know, including the impacts of the U.S. government shutdown could actually have a more negative impact than what the Bloomberg consensus is currently estimating for GDP growth in the fourth quarter, which is sitting at around 1.2%. We think that number looks a little bit high, you know, given the impacts of inflation starting to come through for the U.S. consumer and the impact of the shutdown.
Local inflation due on Wednesday. It was 3.3 for the last data point. The MPC, the Saab, is now, of course, anchoring at that 3% number. What sort of are we going to edge a little higher as well?
Look, I think that on the inflation front domestically, we are likely to see the next few prints into the end of the year, you know, inching a little bit higher. But overall, South Africa's inflation is a relatively good news story. So we've had quite ample grain and food harvests, and that is likely to overshadow any inflationary impact that we see from restricted poultry imports or even the red meat supplies that have been, you know, affected more recently by foot and mouth disease. On the oil front, you know, despite the global tensions ongoing in the background, there is still a global oil supply glut, and that has been keeping the international price of oil in check. But of course, added to that, our rand has been reasonably well behaved. And so the rand price of oil has actually been quite decent. We know that rental inflation, which is typically one of your biggest drivers of services inflation, is also likely to remain reasonably modest in light of pedestrian growth here domestically. And so we do expect, you know, that inflation outcomes will still be quite decent in South Africa, even though they are expected to edge upwards. That's not to say that there aren't any risks attached to the outlook for headline inflation. I think there are two big risks that I can see from here. The first is around the electricity tariffs. We know that our energy regulator, NERSA, made a little calculation error on the 54 billion rand adjustment on Eskom's revenue. And so that means that, you know, consumers for the next 2 years are going to be facing an electricity tariff hike somewhere between 8 and 9% per year for the next 2 years. And if I look at what's coming out of the medical aid inflation figures, you know, the likes of ourselves, Momentum, Bonita's, Discovery, you know, we are likely to see that medical aid inflation rates, you know, will probably land somewhere between 7.5% and 9.5% for next year. And so that tells us that there are still lingering upside risks to inflation, although overall, most of the basket items are reasonably well contained.
We'll leave it there. Sinisha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist, Momentum. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Audrey McGrenchu on Friday. He from Momentum Securities. Gold was about to do 9 green weeks in a row, and it now has. We asked you if the yellow metal looking overdone to the upside. Over half said no, still going higher. Probably right, although maybe a bit of a pullback. But longer term, looking out, sure, going higher, I suppose. Almost a third said no idea, but loving it, and that's probably the truest answer. The rest said no, a collapse coming soon. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Spear results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.